Surah Muhammad, ayah number 12. Inna allaha yudkhilu allazina amanu wa amilu salihati jannatin tajri min tahtiha lanhar. Indeed, Allah will admit those who have believed and done righteous deeds to gardens beneath which rivers flow. But those who disbelieve enjoy themselves and eat as graving livestock eat, and the fire will be a residence for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with disdain about the people who do not believe. To Allah, they are like grazing livestock. They're animals who eat, get married, have children, take care of their nests, and then they die. They have no purpose in life. In fact, Allah says in the Quran, they are worse than animals, because the animals, all of them worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of them knows its tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, and how many a city was stronger than your city, stronger than Makkah, which drove you out? We destroyed them, and there was no helper for them. So is he who is on clear evidence from his Lord, like him to whom the evil of his work has been made attractive, and they follow their own desires? Is the description of paradise which the righteous are promised, wherein are rivers of water unaltered, meaning they are neither stagnant nor polluted, in taste or smell, they're always fresh. Allah says, rivers of milk, the taste of which never changes. Rivers of wine, delicious to those who drink. And rivers of purified honey, in which they will have from all kinds of fruits and forgiveness from their Lord. Like that of those who abide eternally in the fire, and are given to drink scalding water that will sever their intestines. Subhanallah, may Allah save us from this end. Ameen. And among them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are those who listen to you, until when they depart from you, they say to those who were given knowledge, meaning from among the Prophet's companions, they go out and say to them, what has he said just now? They couldn't process it. They didn't really understand. They couldn't pay attention. They were bored with it. They were shifting in their places. Allah says, those are the ones whom Allah has sealed over their hearts, and who have followed their own desires. And those who are guided, He increases them in guidance and gives them righteousness. Allah says, Quran is Hudal lil Muttaqeen. It is guidance for those who are already conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person becomes guided, it increases, the Quran increases them in their guidance. They become more conscious of Allah. Their fear of Allah increases. They become even more careful to avoid His displeasure. This is the barakah of the Quran, the gift of guidance. May Allah make us of these people. Ameen. Then do they await, except the hour should come upon them unexpectedly? But already there have come some of its indications. Then how, meaning what good to them, when it has come, will be their remembrance? So know, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is no deity except Allah, whereas the Prophet, peace be upon him, already knew. Who would know more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That there is no deity of worship except Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly to encourage him, to give him strength. Know and trust in Allah, because there is no one else except Allah, and Allah will help you. And then Allah says, ask forgiveness for your sin. Wastaghfir li dhanbik. The mistakes of the prophets are simply mistakes, they are not sins. Being a human being, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make some judgments, perhaps, that were corrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, is enjoined to seek forgiveness for even those small mistakes. Why? Because he was a role model for all of those people who were following him. The whole future of Islam depended upon every single movement that he made, every single word that he uttered. SubhanAllah, what a great task. So Allah then says, and seek forgiveness for the believing men and believing women. Because sometimes they might question, Mata Nasrullah, when is the help of Allah? Allah says, and Allah knows of your movement and your resting place. Those who believe say, why has a surah not been sent down? They were waiting for a surah to come down, which would give them permission to fight the kuffar. Allah says, but when a precise surah is revealed, and fighting is mentioned therein, you see those in whose hearts is disease, hypocrisy, the disease of hypocrisy, looking at you with the look of one overcome by death. They hated the idea of fighting. They never wanted to fight and they never did. Allah says, and more appropriate for them would have been obedience and good words. And when the matter of fighting was determined, if they had been true to Allah, it would have been better for them. If they were truly true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would have been happy at the command. They would have jumped at the command. Allah says, so would you perhaps, if you turned away, cause corruption on earth and sever your ties of relationship? Allah questions, if you turn away from Islam or from jihad, where else would you go? It would only be toward corruption. Allah says, those who do so are the ones that Allah has cursed, so He deafened them and blinded their vision. Subhanallah, then do they not reflect upon the Qur'an, or are there locks upon their hearts? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهَا. In essence, if a person does not reflect upon the Qur'an, how do you reflect upon the Qur'an? Tadabbur. Tadabbur is described as penetrating study, intense reflection, as thorough deliberation of the Holy Qur'an as possible. Allah says, if a person does not do that, then his or her heart is locked up. Subhanallah, have we ever thought about this? We feel accomplished if we have simply read through the Qur'an in Arabic from cover to cover. We feel accomplished every Ramadan if we do that once a year. Allah says, do they not reflect upon the Qur'an? Or are their hearts locked up? We feel accomplished if we have learned the tajweed of the Qur'an. We feel accomplished if we believe in the Qur'an. We feel accomplished if we teach our children how to read the Qur'an. But Allah says, are their hearts locked up? Each and every single one of us has to do a deep reflection of the Qur'an. But before we get to that, there are five obligations to the Qur'an. Our first obligation is to have iman in the divine origin of the Qur'an. Iman has two phases. Verbal profession, you say it by your tongue, and heartfelt conviction. You believe in your heart. Then you have faith in the Qur'an. It means that you should verbally profess that Qur'an is the word of God, that it was revealed upon the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Angel Jibreel. This is actually a legal requirement for the acceptance of a person who wants to accept Islam. It is only when we have real conviction in this verbal declaration that our hearts and minds are affected when we listen to the Qur'an and we genuinely are attracted toward it. Allah describes such people when His ayat are recited, ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Then their hearts and their skins themselves soften towards the remembrance of Allah. The second obligation is to slowly and thoughtfully read the Qur'an with its correct pronunciation. This in and of itself is a very important form of ibadah, of worship. It also is a way of continually refreshing our faith. The Qur'an is not a book to read just once. It is a book that needs to be read again and again. We must read it carefully, reflecting on its messages, constantly seeking guidance for our lives. Just like our material body is in constant need of food, our spiritual ruh, our ruh, needs perpetual nourishment, and that can only come from the Qur'an. The Qur'an reminds us, the Qur'an teaches us patience. The Qur'an gives us a way to surmount obstacles in our lives. It is a mercy and a healing, and that is why it is necessary for us to continuously read the Qur'an. It is a rope of Allah. Our third obligation is to understand and comprehend the Qur'an. The Qur'an has been revealed so that we would understand it. The first stage in comprehension is called tazakkur. Tazakkur means it reminds us of something that we are familiar with. It is not foreign or alien to human fitrah, to human nature. It reminds us of something we are familiar with, but we might have forgotten. So when we actually read it, it makes sense. It clicks with us. The knowledge of the Arabic language, however, is indispensable for this purpose. At the very least, a person needs to read its translation thoroughly, read the tafasir, the explanations thoroughly. This is truly important. The second stage of this obligation to understand and reflect upon the Qur'an, is tadabbur. Tadabbur is the word that is mentioned here in ayah number 24. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. This is intense reflection, penetrating study. For this, a person truly has to understand the Arabic. This kind of understanding is impossible unless we devote our lives to it, our talents to it. Muslims who are not only educated, but who have obtained advanced degrees in arts and sciences would have no excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment if they failed to learn so much Arabic, at least that much Arabic, that would enable them to understand His book. This is a duty upon us. May Allah make it easy for us and may He accept it. Ameen. Our fourth obligation is to act upon the teachings of the Quran. It is a guidance for mankind. At an individual level, it is imperative for every Muslim to mold his or her life according to the teachings of the Quran. The best way to benefit from the study of the Quran is to go on changing our lifestyles and continue to mend our ways as we read along. At the collective level, it is equally imperative for us to try and establish a system of social justice that is given by the Holy Quran. In our communities, you begin with your home first, and then in your community, within your relatives, within your friends, and then your city, and then your state, and then your country. We are the khulafa of Allah upon earth. We are the deputies of Allah. We have been created as ummatun wasatan. Allah says, ukhrijat linnas. You have been taken out for all of mankind. We are responsible for all of mankind. And this brings us to our fifth obligation. The fifth obligation is to propagate the message of the Quran to every nook and corner of the world. This was originally the responsibility of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He fulfilled his obligation. And after him, the Sahaba fulfilled their obligation. But now we have relegated the Quran to something that is simply a personal notebook. It is not simply a personal notebook. It is a powerful interactive communication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not descend upon earth to speak to every human being individually. Allah has already sent His words. They are the perfect words, the perfect collection of words in the Holy Quran. Now it is up to us, it is incumbent upon us to share it with everyone that we come across. And if we cannot share it ourselves, we need to help those who share this with others. This is the duty of every Muslim who has a Quran in their hands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to the best of our abilities ponder upon the Quran and to fulfill His obligations, and may He accept it from us. Ameen. Allah says in ayah number 25, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ ارْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهِمْ. Indeed, those who reverted to disbelief after guidance had come clear to them, Satan enticed them and prolonged hope for them. Satan makes them believe what they are doing is absolutely correct. Their way of life is the best thing. So the first thing Shaitan does is he decorates their evil works. He makes them look beautiful and fair to some people. And then Imla, Allah says, wa amla lahum. He prolongs their false hopes, which will never be fulfilled. And again, who are these people? Those who reverted back to disbelief after guidance had become clear to them. The people who accepted Islam, but then they turned away from it internally. These ayat are a criticism of the hypocrites. They pretended to accept Islam, but in reality, they were planning with the Jews of Medina, the Bani Israel. Allah says, that is because they said to those who disliked what Allah sent down, these are the Jews of Medina. So these hypocrites went to the Jews of Medina and said, we will obey you in part of the matter. So they actually started planning with them, said, we will work with you. And Allah knows what they conceal. Then how will it be when the angels take them in death, striking their faces and their backs? That is because they followed what angered Allah and disliked what earns His pleasure. So He rendered worthless their deeds. This is the opposite of taqwa. The people who dislike what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. The people who do what angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is the opposite of that. People who do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. His pleasure resides in those things. And people who avoid what angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is taqwa. If a person does the opposite, Allah says, فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ, so his deeds are rendered worthless by Allah. Allah says, or do you think in whose hearts is disease, think that Allah would never expose their feelings of hatred? And if we willed, we could show them to you, and you would know them by their mark. They would carry their marks on their faces. Subhanallah, may Allah forgive us. Ameen. But you will surely know them by the tone of their speech, and Allah knows your deeds. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew their names. Everyone knew who they were. They could recognize them by their attitude, by their comments, by their behavior. But their actual names were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that list was kept with Hudhaifa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu. Allah is warning the hypocrites, do not continue the way you are continuing, otherwise you will be shamed in front of everyone publicly. May Allah forgive us, ameen. Allah says, and we will surely test you until we make evident those who strive among you for the cause of Allah and the patient, and we will test your affairs. These are tests for us. حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ. Allah wants to distinguish those, prove those who are al-mujahideen, who truly struggle in His path. And this requires tremendous amount of sabr and patience. So the people who are truly patient in the face of challenges that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these don't just happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willfully, deliberately tests us. And He does not hide that fact in the Quran. May Allah help us to succeed too. Ameen. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَشَاقُوا الرَّسُولَ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَى لَن يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيُحْبِطُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Indeed, those who disbelieved and averted from the path of Allah and opposed the Messenger after guidance had become clear to them, meaning the hypocrites, never will they harm Allah at all, and He will render worthless their deeds. This is the third time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions deeds that are destroyed. Indeed, those who disbelieved and averted people from the path of Allah and then died while they were disbelievers, never will Allah forgive them. So do not weaken and call for peace while you are superior. And Allah is with you and will never deprive you of the reward of your deeds. Allah says, your deeds will not go to waste. Remember the deeds of the hypocrites, the kuffar, those are going to go to waste. The deeds of the Bani Israel, they will go to waste because they did not believe. And on top of that, they tried every which way to create obstacles for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to create obstacles for the Muslims and defeat Islam. Allah says, do not weaken. Yes, it is difficult. It was hard because the Muslims were being attacked from all different corners. They felt cornered. Allah says, do not weaken and call for peace. Ila salmi. When is this trial going to be over? Let's have some peace now. Allah says, do not weaken. Allah is with you. Do not get tired of this. Allah is with you. Do not lose hope and courage. Allah is with you, and He will never deprive you of the reward of your deeds. While a person is struggling, while a person is being patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuously writing her reward, His reward. Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهَوٌ. Remember again, in case you forgot, this worldly life is only amusement and diversion. It's very temporary. If the pleasures of this world are temporary, the obstacles and the difficulties of this world are also temporary. Even if they don't seem that way to you, Allah says they are. Allah says, and if you believe and fear Allah, He will give you your rewards and not ask you for your properties. Subhanallah. Allah does not want your wealth. Allah says He will not ask you for your money, for your wealth, which you are so afraid of losing. Allah then says, if He should ask you for them, your wealth and your properties, and press you, meaning pressurize you, you would withhold, and He would expose your hatred, meaning unwillingness. The fact that most of charity, most of sadaqah, has been made voluntary upon us. It has not been made obligatory upon us is a relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He demanded that we give more than 2.5% in zakat that we are obligated to do, Allah says, then people would truly be exposed. Already giving 2.5% is so difficult for many Muslims. May Allah forgive us. Ameen. We are so casual about it. We don't take the time to truly look into the matter. And especially as the world is changing, zakat is not just obligatory upon gold and silver. It is obligatory on a lot of other things. Zakat is due on assets that did not exist at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to be up to date with the latest research. Ask our ulama so that we truly calculate it properly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so and accept it from us. Ameen. But Allah says if he would ask us for all of our money and then He would press us, He would put pressure upon us, then we would be exposed. Our hatred, the people's hatred for giving up their wealth would be exposed. The hypocrisy of the hypocrites would be exposed. Allah says, here you are, those invited to spend in the cause of Allah, but among you are those who withhold out of greed. And whoever withholds, only withholds benefit from himself. If you are stopping and you do not spend in the cause of Allah, then you're stopping benefit coming your way. Allah says, and Allah is free of need. وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. Allah is free of need. He is rich. While you are the fuqara, you are the needy. And if you turn away, and if you refuse, He will replace you with another people. Then they will not be like you. Surah Al-Fath. Al-Fath means the conquest. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Indeed, we have given you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a clear conquest. In Surah Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had encouraged believers to spend in Allah's cause, to be steadfast in Allah's cause, to fight in Allah's cause. And right after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed Suratul Fath in the Mus'haf, as if to say that if you follow and help Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you fight for your deen, if you truly strive for your deen, for Islam, then you will have victory immediately. Ibn Mas'ud said, you people consider the conquest to be that of Makkah, but we consider it to be the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And truly the surah was revealed when the Muslims, led by the Prophet, peace be upon him, were returning from Hudaybiyah. What is Hudaybiyah? Hudaybiyah was a place between Medina and Makkah. In 6 al-Hijri, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and 1,400 companions went for Umrah. They stopped at Hudaybiyah. Now remember that the kuffar were still in Makkah. The idols were still in Makkah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from going there. But there was further wisdom in this, as we will see inshallah. So they camped in Hudaybiyah and they sent Uthman radiallahu anhu to talk to the kuffar of Makkah to allow the Muslims to enter Makkah, the Haram, safely. At that time and even today, the Haram is a place of safety and security, and no one is allowed to fight in there. However, just to be cautious, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to inform the Makkans in advance so that there wouldn't be any problems. And so he went Uthman radiallahu anhu to negotiate with them. The rumor that reached back to the Sahaba was that Uthman radiallahu anhu was martyred. Now the Sahaba pledged to fight when they heard that. Amazingly, they pledged even when they were unarmed, because they had left in a state of ihram. They were wearing their ihram to perform umrah. All they had with them were small daggers so that they could hunt and simply to use as tools. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about the possible martyrdom of Uthman radiallahu anhu, that the kuffar had perhaps killed him, he asked the Sahaba to pledge their allegiance to him that they would fight if it became necessary. And without being armed, the Sahaba all at once, all 1,400 of them, pledged their allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They pledged upon his hand. The Prophet, peace be upon him, placed his other hand on top of their hand, saying, that this was representative of Usman, he was so confident that if Usman radiallahu anhu had been there, he would also have pledged allegiance. This is called the pledge of Ridwan, the Bayt of Ridwan. Ridwan means the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as it happened that it was an incorrect rumor that Usman radiallahu anhu had been martyred, the Meccans released Uthman and sent Suhail bin Amr al-Thaqafi to negotiate terms of peace with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suhail radiallahu anhu later embraced Islam. So now the Prophet, peace be upon him, reached the following terms. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. These are the conditions of peace between Muhammad, son of Abdullah, and Suhail ibn Amr, the envoy of Mecca. The first was, there will be an armistice between the two parties and no fighting for the next 10 years. Any person or tribe who wishes to join Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to enter into any agreement with him is free to do so. Likewise, any person or tribe who wishes to join the Quraysh and enter into any agreement with him is also free to do so. If any Meccan went to Medina, then Muslims would return him to Mecca. But if any Muslim from Medina went to Mecca, he would not be returned. If any young man or one whose father is alive goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without permission from his father or guardian, he will be returned to his father or guardian. But if anyone goes to the Quraysh of Mecca, he will not be returned. This year the Muslims will go back without entering Mecca. They will not perform Umrah. But next year, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers can enter Mecca, spend 3 days and perform Umrah. Apparently, it was an agreement that went against the wishes of the Muslims, but later it turned out to be a great victory for them, for the Sahaba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely patient by accepting all of these terms. And they seemed lopsided, they seemed unfair to the Muslims. This treaty is known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And it is one of the most outstanding events because it proved to be a turning point in the future of Islam. Now the Sahaba were angry, they were upset. They were upset at the kuffar. They could not understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had compromised with them. And the treaty, the clauses of the treaty were so unfair against the Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his followers to slaughter their sacrificial animals because they were in a state of ihram and they needed to get out of the state of ihram. So he told them to go ahead and slaughter them where they were and get their head shaved to come out of ihram. But the people were so dejected that they delayed the compliance. This had never happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before, and he felt it. And so he entered the tent and told his accompanying wife Umm Salama what had happened. She politely advised, "The people are in shock to lose their umrah and enter the holy city. You do what you are supposed to do and they will follow you." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quietly came out. He slaughtered his camels and got his head shaved. Subsequently, the people followed him and they all set out towards Medina. They went back. The Meccans had sent Urwa bin Mas'ud to negotiate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before they sent Suhail. He was so impressed by the scenes of the Prophet's love amongst his followers sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "I have visited the royal courts of the Persians, Roman and Ethiopian kingdoms, but I have never seen the kind of respect and high esteem as the followers of Muhammad have for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have come only for worship. Let them enter the holy city." But the Meccan leaders did not want to do so, and then the events unfolded. During all of this, Umar radiallahu anhu questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Are we not on the right path? Are we not upon Islam? Why do we have to do this?" But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued with the treaty, and it proved victorious because on their way back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Suratul Fath. "Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina." Indeed, we have given you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a clear conquest. How did this conquest actually come about? Just after 20 months of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, one of the tribes who had aligned with the Quraysh attacked the tribe that was aligned with the Muslims. They killed many people and their chief Nawfal did not spare them, even inside the holy city. The Quraysh also supported them with men and arms. So the Prophet ﷺ sent word to the Quraysh, pay ransom for the people killed or terminate your alliance with Banu Bakr, the tribe who had started this war, and said, or treat Hudaybiyah as abrogated. The Quraysh arrogantly replied that we will neither pay ransom nor terminate their alliance with Banu Bakr, but they were ready to abrogate the treaty. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to avoid bloodshed in the Haram. He made a secret plan to surround Makkah in surprise with a large force so that the Makkans would surrender without fight. It was a great strategy. He declared war preparations without naming the destination. And then they marched into Medina. The Muslims marched into Medina in Ramadan of 8 Hal Hijri. The Muslims surrounded Makkah on the 7th of Ramadan and they entered the city while the Kuffar surrendered to them on the 10th of Ramadan. This was the great gift of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. In the meantime, within those 20 months, there was peace between the Muslims and the Kuffar, and the Muslims were able to establish their religion, they were able to establish their state and grow in their spirituality and grow in their iman without having any obstacles and attacks coming from the outside. So it was truly beneficial for the Muslims in every aspect. Allah says that He has given Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a clear conquest. And remember, this was right after Sulh Hudaybiyah. The conquest of Makkah had not occurred yet, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is foretelling them in this surah. That Allah may forgive you, Allah says, what preceded of your sin, meaning errors, and what will follow, and complete His favor upon you, and guide you to a straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed His favor upon the Muslims, and He completed His favor upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He forgave His previous sins and His future sins. Allah says, and that Allah may aid you with a mighty victory. Now, despite this ayah being revealed about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being forgiven all of his mistakes, he would still stay up at night and pray long qiyamul layl, so his feet would become blue from standing. So someone asked him, why do you stand like this if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven your past and your future sins? He replied, should I not be a thankful servant of Allah? May Allah make us of the thankful. Ameen. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is He who sent down tranquility into the hearts of the believers, that they would increase in faith along with their present faith. And to Allah belongs the soldiers of the heaven and the earth, and ever is Allah knowing and wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives relief to believers in this dunya. Allah gives us tranquility by showing us victory. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, and that He may admit the believing men and the believing women to gardens beneath which rivers flow, to abide therein eternally, and remove from them their misdeeds, and ever is that in the sight of Allah a great attainment. And that He may punish the hypocrite men and hypocrite women, and the polytheist men and polytheist women, those who assume about Allah an assumption of evil nature. What did they assume about Allah? That He would never help the believers. Allah says, upon them is a misfortune of evil nature, and Allah has become angry with them, and has cursed them, and prepared for them hell, and evil it is as a destination. Allah says again, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And to Allah belong the soldiers of the heavens and the earth, and ever is Allah exalted in might, the wise. Believers get two things, victory in this dunya. They get validation in this dunya, and then in akhirah, the best of the best. Disbelievers, people who oppose Islam and oppose Muslims, they get defeat and humiliation in this dunya, in this world, in front of our eyes. And then in akhirah, the worst of the worst. Allah says, indeed we have sent you as a witness and a bringer of good tidings and a warner, that you people may believe in Allah and His Messenger and honor Him and respect Him, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, and exalt Him, Allah, morning and afternoon. Indeed, those who pledge allegiance to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are actually pledging allegiance to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allah is speaking about the Bayt of Ridwan, the pledge of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, the hand of Allah is over their hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the Sahaba to a very high level that day. All of them pledged loyalty to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them pledged that they would support him in case of a battle with the kuffar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, his hand, Allah's hand, is over their hands. So he who breaks his word only breaks it to the detriment of himself. And he who fulfills that which he has promised Allah, he will give him a great reward. Those who remained behind of the Bedouins will say to you, our properties and our families occupied us, so ask forgiveness for us. They say with their tongues what is not within their hearts. Hypocrites never want to sacrifice for Islam. The Bedouins were afraid of going out with the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims to Makkah to do Umrah, because they were afraid of the retaliation of the Kuffar. So Allah says they say with their tongues what is not within their hearts. Say, then who could prevent Allah at all if he intended for you harm or intended for you benefit? Rather, ever is Allah with what you do acquainted. But you thought that the messenger and the believers would never return to their families ever, and that was made pleasing in your hearts. They were relieved, Allah says. The hypocrites felt relief. Subhanallah. And you assumed an assumption of evil, Allah says, and became a people ruined. Their hearts earned sin, subhanAllah. And whoever has not believed in Allah and His Messenger, then indeed we have prepared for the disbelievers a blaze. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He forgives whom He wills and punishes whom He wills. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Those who remain behind will say, when you set out toward the war booty to take it, let us follow you. So, if it was easy, it was an easy task, and there were spoils of war to be had, they will say, let us come with you. They wish to change the words of Allah, say, never will you follow us. Thus did Allah say before. So they will say, rather, you envy us. But in fact, they were not understanding, except a little. Right after this, the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Khaybar. Khaybar was a wealthy, rich fortress of the Jews. They left everything behind. But those spoils of war were only for those who participated in Hudaybiyah. Allah says, say to those who remained behind of the Bedouins when they were setting out for Umrah, you will be called to face a people of great military might. You may fight them or they will submit. So if you obey, Allah will give you a good reward. But if you turn away as you turned away before, he will punish you with a painful punishment. The battle of Tabuk is being prophesied. Allah says there is not upon the blind any guilt, or upon the lame any guilt, or upon the ill any guilt for remaining behind. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, he will admit him to gardens beneath which rivers flow. But whoever turns away, he will punish him with a painful punishment. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Certainly was Allah pleased with the believers when they pledged allegiance to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, under the tree. And he knew what was in their hearts. So he sent down tranquility upon them and rewarded them with an imminent conquest. Allah did two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels down to make them feel tranquility, to give them courage to stand by, to stand steadfast. And even though they did not go to war with the Makkans at that time, simply the fact that they pledged allegiance to support Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in case of a fight was enough to win them the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that our strong intentions to do something also earn us reward. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also rewarded them with an imminent conquest, that of Khaybar, which preceded the conquest of Makkah, and much war booty which they will take, and ever is Allah exalted in might and wise. So this was the third thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Allah promises further. He says, Allah has promised you much spoils of war that you will take in the future, and has hastened for you this victory, and withheld the hands of people from you, that it may be a sign for the believers, and that he may guide you to a straight path. And he promises other victories that you were so far unable to realize, which Allah has already encompassed, and ever is Allah over all things competent.